I have an unblemished record of having no one kiss my ring when they come to see me. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I am live with you today. And always, something's got to happen always, right at 12 o'clock. I just lost my monitor. I have no idea what has happened to my main screen here. So you bear with me one second. We're going to talk about Francis the Talking Pope, and I'm probably going to have to stand up here. Hang on a second. Hang on. I think it came unplugged. There we go. Maybe that fixed it. Are we on? Yeah, there we go. All right. Woo! Yay! All right. We got it working again. Anyway, it's 12 o'clock. It's Central Time. What is it? 8 o'clock p.m. out in Samburu County, listening on Watchman FM. I've got a couple articles that I want to read. It's, hang on a second, they're right over here. Just for all you Africans out there. And by the way, I want to say this. I announced it Sunday night. I posted it on Facebook. We tried something Sunday that we've never really done it before. And we tried it Sunday morning here at Bethel Church. Would have been Sunday late or early evening out where our radio station is in Marilal, Kenya, Watchman FM 91.3. We set up a projector and a screen out in the street, somewhere in town there. We're going to get some pictures sent to us. And we streamed our live church service over there in the marketplace. Think Bible. Think Apostle Paul. I'm not him, I assure you. But look at what he did. He was out in the marketplaces. He was out where the people are. And after the service, I saw Michael on the phone with Hezron. And he was asking him, you know, talking about how it went and everything. Michael came in the building and I said, well, how did it go? And he said, well, it went good. And I went, okay. He said, it was raining out there. And I went, yeah. And he said, they figured between 150, 200 people were standing out in the rain watching our church service live in town. And I wept. I couldn't believe that. That blessed my heart. And I want to say, and I've heard this from various people here in America. When I talked about this, God will always feed the hungry people. That's what he promised. He promised that he would preach the gospel to those that were hungry. Blessed are ye that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I will tell you that no one in America will stand out in the street in the rain and watch a church service. Just now, that's not the way it used to be in America. In the old days in America, they used to have tent revivals. They used to have open air meetings, what we called them, camp meetings, where people would come long distances and camp out close to where the meetings were going to be. And they would sit for a week and listen to old preachers preach the old time way out of the old King James Bible. Those days are long gone in America. And I want to commend all of those who were out there. If you're listening right now, and I hear there was a lot of pastors out there, God bless you. We love you. And, we're just delighted. I've got a news article here that I want to read. I'm going to show you what happens in America when America walks away from the Word of God. And we are doing that right now. We have a communist Muslim president Those are not extremist words. Those are accurate. He is a socialist communist. He studied Marxism, Karl Marx. He studied Vladimir Lenin, not John Lenin, Vladimir Lenin, in his early days. And those are the concepts that he has. He is definitely pro-Muslim and anti-Christian. You can see that in his remarks that he makes about Christianity and his remarks that he makes about Islam. So God is judging America with unrighteous leaders. This same president nominated and the Senate approved this woman to be on the Supreme Court. This is the highest court in the land. That court should be filled. All 9 members. All 9 members of the Supreme Court should be of the utmost, highest integrity, and they should be the most skilled Americans when it comes to the law, constitutional law. Obama, since he's become president, has filled that position, twice now, 3 times? And it's all been people who are not the best jurists in the country, but they are certainly the most extreme and have extreme causes behind them. Elena Kagan is one of them. Justice Sotomayor, who belonged to a group called La Raza, which is Spanish for the Raza. It's Spanish for the race. We put a racist Supreme Court justice in power in this country. And Justice Kagan is making news. Justice Elena Kagan has officiated for the first time at a same-sex wedding. For those of you who need an explanation, 2 sodomites becoming legally married in the United States of America. Justice Elena Kagan has officiated for the first time at a same-sex wedding, a Maryland ceremony for her former law clerk and his husband. I gotta wash my mouth out after saying that. Gah! His husband. Ah, I hate that. That's gross. 2 men kissed each other on the mouth. And one of the highest officiants in the nation blessed it. This is where we are as a people right now. Now I'm going to contrast that with an article. These were both on the Drudge Report. Chad is an African nation. Chad becomes the 37th African state to seek a ban on homosexuality. Chad looks set to become the 37th country in Africa to outlaw homosexuality after government ministers voted to make same-sex relations a crime punishable by up to 20 years in prison, which, if they elected to send them to an American prison, it would probably end up being 20 years of bliss for sodomites. The decision, yet to be ratified by the country's president, was condemned by human rights groups as another setback in the struggle for sodomite rights on the continent. Chad's penal code is more than half a century old and does not explicitly mention homosexuality. But Section 361 of a draft new code states the punishment for anyone who has relations, I'm kind of omitting some language here, with someone of the same sex is 15 to 20 years in jail and a fine of 50 to 500,000 Central African francs. That is anywhere from 60 to 600 pounds, although we're not sure 60 to 600 pounds of what they're going to charge them. According to a document seen by agency France Press, Kenya is in that list of 37 nations that has a legal ban on sodomy. And you are to be applauded. Don't let an American president named Obama come to your nation, Kenya, and try to tell you that he loves his homeland, Kenya, so much that he wants to make sure that your country legalizes and supports the marriage of two men kissing each other on the mouth. Don't let it happen. Be very, and I'll say this. I've said this before, twice coming to Kenya. I'll say it again. You pastors, you church people in Kenya, don't trust Mzungu from America coming over to your country telling you all of these religious ideas and religious philosophies and these new doctrines. Don't trust them unless you see it word for word in the King James Bible. Because I'm telling you, they've come to Africa, they've gone all over the world, lying through their teeth, saying God said, and God never said it. Read Ezekiel chapter 13. You'll see what that is. They're building the wall and daubing it with untempered mortar, and the untempered mortar is saying God said it, and God never said it. God never said those things. They will come and they will take money from you and they will hype you up with ideas that will make you think that if you are Christian, then you should be rich because God owes you money. And that's a lie. And I spent a week out in Kilimambogo in Tala, Kenya. And the pastors out there, I absolutely loved them. They were with us 100% when we were teaching that there are so many pastors in Kenya and in other places of the world trying to convince everybody that gain is godliness. Trying to tell the people that if you give me, your pastor, or me, your evangelist, large sums of money, then God will bless you and make you rich. It's a scam. It is. It's a shakedown for money. All they want is to get rich off of you, sleep with your women, because God tells them to. That's what they tell everybody. And then you end up with nothing. And they don't care. And the esteemed Dr. Owar is on the top of the list. I got an email earlier from Cindy, Dancing with Bunnies. You know who you are. Hi, Pastor Mike. I'm new to this thinking, but I noticed that Obama gave his ISIS speech on 9/20/14. If you add those up, let's see here. You add those up, it comes to 33. Cindy, you get, for your work and your labor, you get a free download of any video of your choice from YouTube. Absolutely free of charge. And I'm going to deal with this one very, very quickly. And I'm going to move into the topic of du jour today. This, something hit me yesterday. It was absolutely incredible how right God's word is. I can't wait to get this to you. But just how true and right God's word is to this very day. It stuns and amazes me. Kelly asked a question, says, I don't know what your topic is today, but I'm wondering if you can tell me what the two winged women are from Zechariah chapter 5. I'm guessing they are unclean spirits because they have wings as a stork, and the land of Shinar, I believe, is Babylon. Also, I don't believe there is anywhere in Scripture where God's angels are referenced as female. And you're doing a Bible study on this tomorrow night. Kelly, you're right on that. Zechariah chapter 5 deals, and don't let anybody retranslate that for you from the King James and try to tell you that that's Scud missiles or some kind of nonsense like that. That's ridiculous. These two women with the wings of a stork, and if I remember right, storks are unclean animals. And they are in the land of Shinar, and they're building the house in the land of Shinar. Babylon is what it is. I think that these two stork-winged, unclean female spirits represent Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That's what I think they represent. I'm going to encourage everybody to do more study on that. I will. I'm going to look at it further. And I've read all that nonsense about them. Oh, these are missiles. In the original, when you get the original Hebrew and you just completely wipe out what the King James says, and then you start taking Hebrew and twisting it around and going finding some way off the shelf definition for these Hebrew words, it makes you think that it could possibly be something that's similar to a missile. That's pretty good, isn't it? I could write a commentary and be like a commentary writer. Let's deal with what we're going to talk about today. I tweeted earlier today on the issue of the Pope of Rome, and the idea that the Pope of Rome is interested. It seems like he is on a mission. Let's see if I can pull this up here. Is it there? Is it there? No, there it is there. Okay. He's on a mission to bring all of the world's religions together as one. Now, this is not some new thing that just cropped up. The Catholic Church, since 1963, has been trying to, I guess it's an issue of, if you can't beat them, join them. And what I mean by that is get them to come under your dominion and under your authority. That's the role of the Catholic Church. That's her whole purpose of being, is to destroy the gospel of Jesus Christ, the real gospel, and replace it with Babylon mystery religion. That's her object. And in the Second Vatican Council, 1963, that's what they talked about. They talked about joining and gathering all the, what they called, separated brethren under the fold of Mother Rome and under the jurisdiction or authority of the King of the Vatican, which is the Pope. And they've been doing this forever, but in the old days when they would find Christians, they would just kill them. In today's world, it looks bad to be killing Christians, unless, of course, you're ISIS. It looks bad to be killing Christians. And so they decided not to kill them, but to make them subject to Rome in various ways. Alberto Rivera, a former Jesuit priest, made claims to Jack Chick. Jack Chick published a series of illustrated books called the Alberto series. Came out in the late 70s, early 80s. Several of them have been released. I don't know how many there are on the series, like 5, 6, 7, something like that. Alberto Rivera has now died, gone on to be with the Lord. But Jack Chick talked about, and Alberto Rivera talked about how he sat in on meetings where they were talking about how they were going to undermine the various Protestant denominations throughout the world. You read it, as I did. I was a young man. I was a teenager fixing to go to Bible college. First time I started reading these. And over the years, I've thought, you know, is this guy really true? Is he telling the truth? And I can say now, without any doubt in my mind, whether or not Alberto Rivera was actually in on the meetings, the things that he told are absolutely taking place right now. Just about everything and every claim that he made is coming true. It was from Alberto Rivera and maybe some others that were telling everybody that the charismatic renewal movement, the charismatic movement, was one of the harlot daughters of the mother of harlots in the Vatican. And there's evidence of this, and I'm going to try to show some of this today. I don't know. I've got a lot to talk about. I'm going to cover some things that I've talked about in years gone by. But there's something came to me yesterday by way of the Word of God. And it's like the Holy Ghost is going, Mike, read that. Take a look at that. Take a look at that. And I thought I was going to have to go to the emergency room and have my jaw reattached to my head. My jaw opened up. I took in a deep gasp of air, pondered it for a few seconds, and told God, you're not a liar, God. Your word is absolutely spot on. I'm gonna go ahead and let me read a couple of articles here. Some recent news things that have come up about Francis, the talking Pope, and his quest to unite all of the religions. This is from Now the End Begins. Pope Francis on a frantic quest to unite all religions under Rome. Francis, the talking Pope, is a man on a mission to fulfill Bible prophecy, and he's getting more done than, and this is accurate. When I show you what I see in the Bible, you'll go, that's exactly right. That's exactly what's going on right now. He's getting more done than any other pope in the last 100 years. Pope Francis is here to make some serious, drastic changes, not only in the Catholic Vatican system and in the professing Christianity as well. He is creating the one world religion. And this article features a video of Joel Osteen, Mormon senator, meet with Pope Francis for One World Religion. Pope Francis' call for unity goes beyond the Christian community. During his recent visit to the Middle East, Francis invited Israeli, Jewish, and Muslim leaders to join him in prayer for peace for the region at the Vatican this Sunday. Israel's chief of state, Shimon Peres, and Palestinian president, Abu Mazen, will be joined by a delegation of rabbis. Rabbis. Rabbis, or ribbis, one of the two. Yeah, I got to find out where I was reading from. Join a delegation of rabbis, Islamic imams, and Israeli Druze community leaders, according to news reports. This week, not only did Francis the Talking Pope hold ecumenical services in the Vatican, where he prayed to the moon god of Islam, Allah, he also held high-level meetings with megachurch pastor Joel Osteen, U.S. Senator Mike Lee, who was there to represent the Mormon Church. I did some research on the Mormon Church yesterday, and I don't tell you how all this came about. I started yesterday laying out the script for the Watchman video broadcast, The Singularity. It's part of the Secret to the $1 Bill, Secret of the Seal series. And I'm going to deal with the singularity. If you don't know what that is, you just hang on. Because I've got stuff in there that is just, the things that I found yesterday, it just blew my mind. I'm going to show you something, not today. I'm going to show you something about Jewish mysticism, the Kabbalah, and the race to create an android, a robot, or a computer that has such a sophisticated artificial intelligence system that it will become self-aware. And that is what the singularity is. And there is a concept in the Kabbalah, and it's attached right to Psalm 139. And I'm not going to say anymore. My lips are sealed. You got to see this. But this is one of the things that hit me yesterday as I started taking notes. And I went to bed last night, got up this morning going, I wonder what the Pastor Mike Online is going to be about today. I wonder what we're going to talk about today. And that's what God said to do. So I think I'm doing what he said. But anyway, Joel Osteen was in, here's the article. Joel Osteen was enthralled with the fact that Pope Francis is so inclusive. Because after all, Joel Osteen is inclusive. Oprah Winfrey asks Joel, Reverend Osteen, do you think that Jesus is the only way to God?
Well, you know, Oprah, I have to confess a positive confession that I believe that Jesus is the only way to God. But I believe there are many ways to Jesus.
Here's what Joel Osteen said. I like the fact that this Pope is trying to make the church larger, not smaller. He's not pushing people out, but making the church more inclusive. That resonated with me, Osteen told the Houston Chronicle. The Christian Post reports that, according to Westmont College, Francis, the Talking Pope, had invited more than a dozen North American Protestant leaders, that's a quote, to discuss the question, can we find common ground in order to advance the life and ministry of Jesus so more people can experience the joy of Christian faith? The ecumenical meeting was a part of Francis the Talking Pope's ongoing efforts to bring unity among Christians. Previously stating, and boy, I want you to get this now. This is what he believes he has been called for. And I'm going to tell you something. One of his titles reveals the spirit that's behind why he is trying to unite all of the religions in the world. One of his titles reveals that. I was absolutely stunned. Divisions among, here's a quote from the talking Pope. Divisions among us, but also divisions among the communities, evangelical Christians, Orthodox Christians, Catholic Christians, but why divided? We must try to bring about unity, which is unity. There is, there's another one here. Hang on here. Where is it? I usually staple my papers, and I didn't. Where is it? Where is it? Here we go. Here we go. Francis, the talking Pope, and Shimon Peres discuss the establishment of a, quote, United Nations of Religions. Last Thursday, Francis, the talking Pope, and former Israeli President Shimon Peres met for an extended 45-minute private conversation. The focus of this discussion was a proposal by Peres to establish a, quote, United Nations of Religions. It was the third meeting between the two men in a little more than 4 months. As you will see below, Pope Francis showed, quote, his interest, attention, and encouragement as Peres explained his proposal. Of course, Pope Francis didn't commit to anything, and we probably will not see United Nations of Religions anytime soon. I'm not sure if I agree with that, but we'll see. But every idea has to start somewhere. If Francis, the talking Pope, does ultimately decide to actively push for such a thing, could we eventually see a single global body that claims to represent all of the religions of the world? It is very unusual for a pope to meet with any world leader 3 times in just over 4 months, but it is the latest meeting between Pope Francis and Shimon Peres that was the most noteworthy by far. You can find any of these articles that I'm reading online. In fact, I have them posted on my Pastor Mike Online Facebook page. The address is at the top, facebook.com/PastorMikeOnline. And I know some people that would love to slash Pastor Mike online. Are these people alone? Is Francis the talking Pope alone in his efforts? Do you remember Brian Houston of the Hillsong, the crocodile pastor? Brian Houston says, the Muslim and you, we actually serve the same God. Hillsong is famous all around the Christian world for their worship music. But what God does Hillsong worship? What God do they serve? Does your church sing Hillsong music? Do you find the songs generally vague and lacking scriptural substance in contrast to hymns? Recently, Brian Houston stated that Christians and Muslims serve the same God. Watch him say it. There's a video of this. You can find it online. This is Brian Houston. Brian the Crocodile Houston. How do you view God? In a desert, there's two types of birds. There's vultures and there's hummingbirds. One lives off dead carcasses, rotting meat. The other lives off the beautiful sweet nectar in a particular flower on a particular desert plant. In the same desert, they both find what they're looking for. Now, I got to stop right here. And you can tell because now it's my voice again. It's interesting to me that Brian, the crocodile pastor Houston, is using the illustration of two religious groups, using the illustration of the wilderness, the desert. It's just interesting. Because if you study the scriptures, you understand that the wilderness and the desert are not the places where God dwells. Dragons live there. Owls and satyrs dance there. These spirits are all in the wilderness because the man, Jesus Christ, is not there. So to me, it's just interesting that he brings that up. Now I will continue with my Brian Houston impersonation. Do you know, take it all the way back into the Old Testament and the Muslim and you, we actually serve the same God. Allah to a Muslim is to us Abba, Father God. And of course, through history, those views have changed greatly. But let's make sure that we view God through the eyes of Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the beauty of the Savior, the loving, open, inclusive arms of a loving God. Stop. I can't take it. Where in the Bible, Brian, does it say that God has inclusive arms? Where is that? He has saving arms. He wants to save people with his arm of salvation, his right hand of salvation. But show me that verse where God's just going to take, well, they're worshiping me. They just don't know that they're worshiping me. Think Bible. Think Ten Commandments. I and the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no... It's the first one! Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know what that means, Brian? You know what that means, crocodile preacher? It means that it is impossible for someone to worship another god as a go-between between them and the real God. God said, you shall have no other gods before me. So, crocodile man, it's impossible for someone to worship Allah and be worshiping our God at the same time. God said, there's no way in the universe that I'm going to allow that. I'm a jealous God. You put Allah in front of me, and I will visit the iniquity of your fathers unto the third and fourth generation. Brian Houston, that sounds like a curse to me. You know what? You know Houston's doing? Go read. Go study Untempered Mortar. That is a clear example of God said this. God told me to say this to you. That's a clear example of man saying, God said this. And God said, no, I didn't. I never said that. This is what he's saying. But the idea that we're all worshiping the same God, Brian Houston, Ricky Warren, Richard Warren, maybe, I don't know, Rick Warren, says the same thing. We just talked about the, let's see here. We just talked about Beth Moore. She is of the same, she is a harlot daughter of the mother of harlots. Here is Beth Moore. Her meetings, this was an article. Where did I get this from? Apprising.org, Apprising Ministries. They characterize Beth Moore's meetings are attended by people from, quote, every denomination because she, quote, doesn't get, this is her quote, she doesn't get caught up in divisive doctrinal issues. I do. Doctrine. In fact, hang on. I'm getting a word of knowledge here from God. Hang on a second. Let's go to our can of a fresh can of King James Bible here. Mark them. That's what I'm looking for. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. You know what that, there's several good meetings for that. One of them is the belly is the area of the belly, and you'll understand when I say this, that's where the appetites are. Get it? It's where the yearnings are. They serve their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. But our apostle, Paul, told us to mark them. What does that sound like to you when he says, mark them? Just kind of think like, you know, Revelation 13, verse 18, verse 17, 16. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. So, Beth Moore, let me say this, just in case she's listening. You're the one causing the division, not guys like me. You're the one doing it because you're telling your followers doctrine doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And stop and think about the way churchianity has gone in the last 20 years. There used to be denominational distinctions on every church sign in America. Now, I make no bones about it. We do not belong to a denomination anymore. We used to, we don't. I am not trying to identify myself, my ministry, or our church with some denomination so that you can think, oh, wow, that denomination that Mike Hoggard's from, that must be a good one. Anyway. But what did they start doing the last 20 years? They're no longer First Baptist Church. They're no longer First Pentecostal Church. They're no longer First Assembly of God Church. They took all of that out. They replaced it with the journey, the cross point. They took all that out. Why? Because of the Pope and the Spirit. Now, there's a Spirit here. A spirit that is trying to remove doctrine and replace it with what? Experiences. You see, you can go now to most of these churches where you don't have a clue what denomination they used to be or still are. And you can sit through the whole service, experience the praise and worship, experience the gooey butter cake sermon. Some of you don't know what that is, gooey butter cake. It's like a St. Louis thing. I would forget that I have diabetes if someone would offer me gooey butter cake because it is amazing. It tastes exactly the way it sounds. Gooey butter cake. It's phenomenal. But they preach these gooey butter cake sermons, and you have this experience, but you weren't taught anything. You don't know anything, but you felt a lot of things, but you don't know anything. That is Beth Moore. That's her. This is what she said. She doesn't get caught up in divisive doctrinal issues and, quote, steers clear of topics that could widen existing rifts, R-I-F-T-S. Those of you in Kenya know what a rift is because your country is cut in half by a rift, the Rift Valley. I've been through there now four times, and it's one of the most amazing things you could ever set your eyes on. It's bigger than the Grand Canyon in America. The Rift Valley is absolutely, it's huge, and it just cuts the whole nation in half. So you know what a rift is. But she says, quote, I steer clear of topics that could widen existing rifts between different streams in the body of Christ. Different streams in the body of Christ. That's an interesting phrase. Because Jesus said there is a river that flows. There is a river. It's the river of life. It is the Word of God, Jesus Christ. He's that stream. She says there's different streams. And she doesn't want to divide anybody. She wants to bring them all together. And stop and think about the economic value of having a broad audience. You get what I'm saying? She, I think, Beth Moore, comes from the Southern Baptist Convention. But she doesn't just go to Southern Baptist churches. She goes all over. Why? It's a good income stream. She appeals to them all. I remember back in the 90s, Hank Hanegraaff called himself the Bible Answer Man, following in the steps of, I can't think of his name, Martin. Anyway, called himself the Bible Answer Man, had his radio show. I don't know if it's still on or not. But anytime somebody would bring up a question about Roman Catholicism, he'd go after the person that asked the question. Why? Because apparently Roman Catholics were a good financial base for his program. Jack Van Impe, the same thing. They go after where the money is. Who else did this recently? Kent Hovind's son. Kent Hovind, who is serving a prison sentence for standing up for what he believed in on taxes. His son took over. Somebody else jumped on board with him. Kent Hovind, staunch King James Bible believer and teacher, got on John Ankerberg's show, arguing, I think, with Hugh Ross about creationism. And John Ankerberg puts this verse up on the screen from some goofy Bible talking about wild animals. And Kent Hovind on John Ankerberg's show corrected John Ankerberg. He said, first of all, John, you need to get you a King James. Because the King James translate that as beasts, not wild animals. Dogs, domesticated dogs and cats are not wild animals, but they would be included in that. They are beasts. And now Kent Hovind's son, and I dealt with this on a PMO here a couple years ago, has abandoned the King James and is using other versions and translations. Why? And he sent a letter out. He made a statement saying, many of our followers and supporters use other translations, and we don't want to alienate them. Selling your doctrine out, people. But anyway, Beth Moore. She doesn't want to cause divisions. She wants to bring everybody together. Moore's worship leader, Travis Cottrell, quote, has a uniquely fresh approach to worship that brings the church together. It's an approach that, quote, permeates every denominational wall. This is from the Lifeway Christian Resources or Racehorses website. In a conference in Houston, Texas, Moore had women sit on the platform to represent a hodgepodge of doctrine. I showed that video. She said, we are a very interdenominational group. I can't tell you how much I love that diversity. The group she specifically highlighted were United Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist, Charismatic, and Roman Catholic. She's part of it. And you'll see them one after another promoting unity amongst all the denominations and amongst all the religions. They are simply doing what that spirit is telling them to do. Now I'm going to switch over here and I'm going to show you what got me on this yesterday. Get ready. Get ready. Let me read this first. This is from, I did a little research. It was easy. This is www.catholic.com. By the way, I'm going to say this. I don't think I've talked about this publicly. Because I don't like to be seen as patting myself on the back or whatever. I've told people that come visit us, they talk about certain things, and I tell them, those of you listening to us in Samburu, Kenya, we want you to know we love you. And with very little effort of my own, and I say that because I really feel like God is the one who set this up. God has given you a radio station that we're going to do everything we can to tell you the truth. Early on, after we started the station, and it became apparent that many, many people were listening, we were offered a partial buyout. An organization offered to purchase 12 hours of broadcast time every day. It would have been from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. An organization offered to buy that 12-hour block and use it for their own purpose. I'm not going to tell you how much money they offered. It would have been a monthly payout. And we turned it down. The organization that offered us a ridiculous amount of money to buy half of our airtime every day was the Roman Catholic Church. And when Michael, my son-in-law, brought it to me, I said, don't tell me how much yet. I said, let me tell you my answer. My answer is no, absolutely not. And he said, I knew you'd say that. And he said, that's where I am too. And I said, now how much did they offer? And he went, and I went, oh my goodness. That didn't change my mind. God gave us that radio station. God gave you that radio station. And you pray for us. All of you listening, you pray for us all over the world. As God allows and God permits, we're going to try to do what we're doing in Samburu, in other places in Africa. So you just, if God allows it, if God permits it, and if he doesn't, that's God's deal. That's not mine. Let me read this from www.catholic.com. Here's the question. Why do Catholics call the Pope the Holy Father? If the Bible says only persons of the Trinity may be called holy. Here's the answer. This is from Catholic.com. This was answered by, I think, a Catholic priest, Father Vincent Serpa. That's an interesting last name. Serpa. Here's the answer. Only God is holy by his very essence. However, by a person, place, or thing's association with God, it too can be called holy. To be called holy is to express the idea of consecration, that someone or something belongs to God. That is why the Bible can call many persons, places, and things holy. In Genesis 28:16, the place God appears is holy. In Exodus 19:6, God tells the Israelites through Moses, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God's dwelling place in the tabernacle is holy, as is the city Jerusalem. Even a goat, the victim of sacrifice to God, is called holy. Leviticus 10:17. After Christ's death and resurrection, the Christians called themselves and each other holy ones or saints, called by God to be his. In 1 Peter 1:16, we read, it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. So here's his answer. For since we are his holy people, and his people are the church, capital C, we know what that means. It means Holy Roman Catholic Church, and only the Holy Roman Catholic Church. It is fitting. Here's their justification now. It is fitting that the head of his holy people be called Holy Father. Not because of his own merit, but because Christ died for him and for the church that he leads on the earth. Now, here's my problem, Father Serpent. Here's my problem. Although you gave lots of scripture about, you know, this place is called holy and those people are called holy and these are the holy ones and you're to be holy. Although you gave lots of scripture, you failed to show from the Bible who the real head of the church is. You said that the head of the church is Il Papa, the Pope. That's what you said. Wrong. The head of the church is not the Pope. The head of the church is Jesus Christ only. Only. There are not two heads of the church. So I want you to get this. If the Pope refers to himself as the head of the church, he has, in essence, identified himself as Antichrist. He has identified himself as another head of the church. Hence, another Jesus. And Paul warned us about another Jesus and another gospel and another spirit. He warned us about it so that we wouldn't be deceived, so that we wouldn't be fooled. So the Pope is an anti-Christ, a replacement Jesus, another Jesus, a different Christ than the one spelled out in the Bible. That's what they're saying to you. They're saying that since he's the head of the church, he must be Jesus. Now, as you well know, one of the titles of the Pope of Rome, according to the Roman Catholic Church, according to their doctrine, their dogma, is Holy Father. You'll hear that title used quite often. Well, the Holy Father has made it very clear that he stands against abortion. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? The problem is, this man, Bergoglio, Francis the Talking Pope, his predecessors, John Paul II, Pope Benedict, John Paul I, Pope Paul, Pope John the 23rd, Pope Pius, goes all the way back to Constantine. These men are replacement gods. And these men have taken upon themselves the title of Holy Father. Now, here's where it's going to, this is the zinger right here. All right, so I'm going to get my dun-dun-dun music ready. Because I'm sitting here yesterday, and I just started writing out the outline, how I'm going to lay out my PowerPoints, my graphics, and my scriptures for when I do the singularity video. If you call on certain days and they say he's studying right now, and I've been trying to take more phone calls here lately, but every now and then I got to cut it off. I got to study. I got to have time to work through all the information that I have to lay it out little by little, piece by piece, doctrine by doctrine, precept by precept, so that the simplest can understand it. And this is what I was doing yesterday. I sat down with my 12-inch Samsung Galaxy Note Tab. I love this thing. I love it. I can take the little pen. This is not just, where is that pen? There it is. I take this little pen here, and I write all my notes on my tablet. That way I don't lose them, because I've lost them before, okay? But anyway, that's what I do. And I started writing these out yesterday, and I started thinking about uniting everybody as one. Because that's what the singularity, it's the goal of the singularity, is to make everybody the one. And I remembered that our Savior, Jesus, prayed for that exact thing to happen. And let me read portions of John 7. I love this. The first time I read John 17 was early in my ministry when I was pastoring a little church out in Richwoods, Missouri. And I was sitting there one day and I started reading John 17 and I was crying like a baby. Because John 17, it shows you the love of the Savior Jesus, not only for his Father, but for his disciples. And I was reading it again today, shedding tears. It always gets me. There was one place here, where can I find it? Let me read this. Look at verse 21, John 17. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And that, to me, I just love that. And then it says, this is verse 23. If you ever find yourself struggling with whether or not you're loved, you listen to this one. And right now, I have some people that follow our ministry that are probably listening right now. I have you in mind. Verse 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. If you ever have struggled with whether or not you're loved, Jesus just said that God loves you exactly as much as he loves Jesus. That is sweet. That is rich. I just, little tears just start coming down my eyeballs. Now, here's why I'm saying all this. Remember that in John 17, Jesus is talking about, in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So it's all about the Bible. You cannot exclude it. And here's the difference. Beth Moore, Brian the Crocodile Pastor, Rick Warren, they want a unity without uniformity. They want a unity that's based upon their common experiences, their worship, that has nothing to do with Bible verses. And when you're saying doctrine, that's what you go look up the word doctrine in your King James Bible. You'll see that doctrine and the words of this book are the same. So here's what they're telling you. They're telling you that we are all striving for a unity that leaves the Bible sitting out in the street in the ditch. And so we got to replace it with something. So we replace it with this pneuma, this spiritual ecstasy that we all can experience together. And that's the evidence that God loves us all. Let me tell you something. And I understand. There may be some guys listening to me right now that you have been told that speaking an unknown tongue, and when I say unknown tongue, I mean nobody on the whole planet can find out what that tongue is. That's not what they did at Pentecost. But you've been told that speaking in an unknown tongue, that no one, not even you, know what it is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. From 1963 forward, you know what started happening in Catholic churches, Catholic universities, seminaries all over the world? You know what started happening? All of a sudden, Roman priests who bow before idols and teach that you work to earn salvation merits with God. All of a sudden, they started also speaking in unknown tongues that nobody knew what they were talking about. It was called the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Do a little homework on that. The Catholic Charismatic Renewal. That started going on in Catholic churches all over the world. And you know what? You know the fruit that it's brought about? I'm going to show you. I definitely am going to have to carry this over to Thursday. The Catholic Charismatic Renewal. The fruit of that is that now Francis the Talking Pope is wanting to unite all of the charismatic churches under his rule. So who goes to see him here last few months? Who goes out there? Who goes to have a meeting with Francis the Talking Pope about joining together? Kenneth Copeland does. James Robeson, who has his own talk show on TBN, been doing it for years. He was an old Baptist. And now, if you watch his show, he's got some of the goofiest false doctrine teachers on there that can be compiled in America. James Robeson and his wife have them on there. John Arnott is too. No, John Arnott. No, John is too. He was there. You know who John Arnott is? Is too. John Arnott was the instigator of the Toronto Blessing, the Toronto Airport Church. YouTube this. Look it up. There are video. Paul Creek Ministries did an outstanding piece on the Toronto Blessing. I forgot. It's called The False Anointing, I think is what it is. Paul Creek Ministries, look that up. This guy's Joseph Chambers refers to himself as a classic Pentecostal. And I like him. I talked to him on the phone once. King James. But he exposed the Toronto Blessing, Toronto Airport Church, and John Arnott of the Vineyard Movement. All of a sudden, these spiritual things started happening in their church. When I say spiritual, I am not talking holy spiritual things. Another spirit went sweeping through this church. People were laughing uncontrollably. People were having convulsions. They were having convulsions for days after their initial encounter at the meeting. One lady was being interviewed, and while the microphone was in front of her and the camera was on her, she was coming back for more, and she kept talking. She was doing this like that, and she would say, you know, I felt like the Holy Spirit was here, and I don't know what this is, but I think it's the Holy. That was going on for hours after her initial encounter at the Toronto Airport Church. John Arnott was there with the Pope. That's what spilled over. It was the Toronto Blessing that spilled out over some people who were there from Pensacola, Florida, who then took that twitching thing and they went down to the Brownsville Assembly of God Church in Pensacola, Florida, and spilled that all over the carpet. And they were having this stuff going on nightly. Demonic manifestations all over the place. You can see videos of this thing. It will make you sick watching this. It's like watching The Exorcist for the first time. These all were gathered there with Francis the Talking Pope. Now, let me show you. I've been setting this up now for an hour and 15 minutes. Here we go. You ready? I mentioned to you that the Pope's title, Holy Father, that title is only mentioned one time in the entire Bible. One time. It's in John 17. And we're going to go read the verse. And you're going to understand what the role of the Holy Father is and what that name represents. Are you ready? John chapter 17, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name, Holy Father, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Do you get this? In God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit's realm, in the truth, the way, the truth, the life, the real Jesus, in that realm, all of us, God's children, and when I say God's children, I'm not talking about this generic, oh, we all God's children. Can I get an amen? I'm talking about those who have been born again and have the seal of the Holy Spirit in them as the evidence and the, what word did Paul use? The earnest of the Spirit in us, giving us the hope and the promise that one of these days, our bodies will dissolve and we will become the manifest sons of God. I'm talking about the real Christians. Those who stick with it and don't abandon the Word of God. Jesus' prayer was that through the name, Holy Father, that God would both keep them through that name, and he would make them one as Jesus and the Father are one. By the way, all of you anti-Godhead people out there, you know who you are. Some would say Trinity. I don't really like to use that term because I know there are other Trinities in other religions. Eastern, I don't think it's Hinduism, but Shiva and Brahma. And I think it's Shakti is a trinity. The beast, the false prophet, and the dragon are a trinity. But all of you who are anti-Godhead, whereby the scriptures say, 1 John 5:7, look that up in your Bible, 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. You say, that's not, that wasn't in the Bible. That was added by the pagan Roman Catholic Church. Prove it, Jack. There was a guy leaving comments on YouTube on one of the Pastor Mike Onlines I did, and he's ranting and raving about me being a Trinitarian. He said, that's the Catholic Church started that. That's a pagan idea. You're a pagan. You're following the pagan God if you believe that he's a Trinity, Father. He's not. And he said, you're not going to find that anywhere in the Bible. So I quoted 1 John 5:7. I don't usually comment on my YouTube channel, but I quoted 1 John 5:7. I'm going to see who he is. So I put that out there. And you know what he did? He sure enough, he said, that wasn't in the Bible. That verse is never in the Bible. That was added there. So here's the convenience of it. This is how cults and false doctrine works. You have this false doctrine that you learn from somewhere out here somewhere, and you establish it in your mind as truth. Then all of a sudden, Bible verses start shooting at you that contradict your doctrine. So what do? You take them out. That should have never been in the Bible. Or here's my favorite. That's not for us. I mean, our doctrine is right. If you exclude all of the verses that say our doctrine's wrong, and then you take those verses and you point them at Israel, and now our doctrine's right, because we take all the verses that contradict our doctrine and we aim them at Israel, and now we're clean. Now we can say, see, we're right. That's ridiculous. All of you anti-Godhead people out there, who was Jesus praying to? Who was he praying to? Himself? Was he praying to himself? Was he, I don't know, multiple personalities? Was he dissociative identity disorder? That's the new term for it. Was he praying to himself? When Jesus walked up out of the water after being baptized, did he throw his voice to make it, you know, like a ventriloquist does with a dummy? You know, did he make everybody think that that sound came from heaven? They said, this is my beloved son. Did he have like a puppet dove land on his? Is that what happened? No, he's praying to his Father in heaven, and Jesus was on the earth. But getting back to the Holy Father thing, the Holy Father, Jesus was praying that through the name Holy Father, God would keep his disciples and that they would be one as Jesus and the Father are one. So now take that. Now let's flip that upside down. Now we have a socialist who is the Pope, that his self-titled position is the head of the church. He has replaced Jesus. What does Vicar of Christ mean? What is Vicar of Christ? That's his role, Vicar of Christ. What does it mean? Replacement for, stand in for. Jesus warned us that in the last days, many would come saying, I am Christ, and deceive approximately 1 billion people on the earth. Deceive many. So here is the Pope. He is the replacement Christ, but he's more than that. He is the Holy Father. So what does... Why does he have that title? What spirit is being designated by his claiming that he is the Holy Father? Number one, to keep, as in locks and chains, everybody that surrenders to the Roman Catholic Holy Father. And they do that by telling them, and this is Francis the Talking Pope, do that by telling them, there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. You cannot be saved without the Church. If you don't come to the Catholic Church, you cannot go to heaven. That's how that Holy Father keeps them. He keeps them in fear. If you don't do it my way, you're going to hell. So that's how he does it. Then the spirit that is behind him as the quote-unquote Holy Father by its very biblical definition, his role is to unite everybody that is not born again under an umbrella of one religion, one holy Roman Catholic Church that has surrendered to a holy father. Here is the Pope as God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you get it? Do you understand it? This King James Bible is right. Why? And it just, to me, it just makes all the sense in the world. Here Jesus is talking to his Holy Father, and he's designating the concept behind it as, number one, you're going to keep them through that name, Holy Father. You're going to keep all of those that are yours. And number two, you're going to make them one as you and I are one. So that verse now stands as a prophecy concerning the office and the role of the Pope of Rome, who calls himself the Holy Father. So now we understand the spirit behind it. Let's make sure that everybody is under the bondage of Rome. And number two, whatever religion they think they're in now, one of these days, they're all going to be in my religion, and they are going to be united under me. See, you pick a socialist pope, a Jesuit pope. I don't know if I still have it. The Jesuit, let me see if I can find this here real quick. The logo of the Society of Jesus, the Society of Jesus. Here it is right here. Let me do this, and then I'll click this, and that way you can see. Here it is right here. Here's the logo of the Society of Jesus. Here's another version of it. Here's one here. Okay? Here the center point. Here is 32 rays coming out of this sun. The point in the middle is 33. Do you get that? That's a bum, bum, bum. That's the Society of Jesus logo. That's their goal. Their goal is to unite everybody and encompass and worship the one who is the Antichrist. That's their role. Do I think Pope Francis is the... Here we go. I'm going to make some people mad. Do I think Pope Francis is Petrus Romanus? Who cares? Who cares? Who in the world is Petrus Romanus, and what Bible verse do you see that in? So all you got to do is answer that question. Do I believe the Pope is the Antichrist? No. Do I believe he is an Antichrist? Bingo. I sure do. Bingo. That's pretty funny. That's a Catholic joke. Bingo. Okay. I have got a lot more. To share with everybody. I'm going to read some emails. Let's see here. Hi, Pastor Mike. God bless you. Love your sermons. Keep up the good work. Just picked up a card from a Catholic doctor's office. Have not went there yet. Just sending. On the card, it shows a heart. You're going to like this one. Oh, it says webpage is not available. Uh-oh. Anyway, if you can resend that website, I'd like to see it. It's the, it shows a heart with a barbed wire around it. I'll, if we can pull that up, I'll explain what it is. Let's see here. Let me see if I can find another one here. Some people are sending me YouTube videos to watch. That's fine. I can't always watch all of them. All right. This is from Lawrence. Hello, Pastor Mike. In Holland, things go rapidly too. A Christian political party wants to scrap the old Protestant phrase that Roman Catholicism is a cursed idolatry. For those of you who don't know, I know about this much Dutch history. Holland, at one time, was the safe haven of everybody who wanted out from under the Church of Rome and the Church of England. It was the safe haven for various Protestant and or non-Catholic groups and denominations, including the early pilgrims, the early Puritan fathers who left England, escaped England, went to Holland, grew in number, came back to England, and then got on the Mayflower and came to America. And so apparently a Christian political party wants to scrap the old Protestant phrase that Roman Catholicism is a cursed idolatry. A leading pastor of a united Protestant church has declared his desire to soon be united with the Roman Catholic Church. An evangelical broadcasting station is more and more broadcasting items with Roman Catholicism. It does not surprise me. It really doesn't surprise me. This is what's happening all over the world. Let's see here. Looking for ones that are pertinent. People are seeing there's a new stone on the Georgia Guidestones down in Georgia. It has the year 2014 on it. You might want to look into that. I'm not sure exactly what that is. Anyway, let's see here. Let's see if this one is what this one is. Ooh, you're going to like this one. Here we go. Let me do this. This is from Robin. Hi, Robin. How you doing? Hi, Pastor Mike. Greetings from Minnesota. Thought you'd be interested in this. I've never sent a picture before, and I hope it worked. It did. It worked. If it doesn't, here's the slogan for this. There's a conference up there in Minnesota called the 2015 Winter Reformation. A reformation means that it is going to be reformed. It means that it's in one form, and it's going to be given another form. And here is, let me see, let me put this over here and do that, and so you can see the picture. January 23rd to 25th, here you have the Spark of Divinity, 2015 Reformation. Your spiritual ice will melt off in the fire tunnel. You have Chad Daniel, Mark Casto, Perry the Stone, Eddie James. Let's see, who is he? Yeah, Chris Burns. That's funny. That's a guy named Burns at a fire conference. I just think that's funny. Anyway, OCI is the place to be on Friday, January 23rd through Sunday evening, January 25th. Bring your entire youth group for the entire five services experience. See that right there? See that? See it? Experience the Sunday morning fire tunnel impartation service. Now here's, I want to ask you a question. Those of you who are hooked into stuff like this, including Perry the Stone. Where is the fire tunnel in your Bible? Where is it? I've got one for you. Take your Bible, the one that Joel Osteen says, it is who I am who it says I am. And according to something recent that Joel Osteen came out with, the Bible says that Joel Osteen is an idiot. He's ignorant. Those of you, I don't have the article in front of me to say exactly what he said, but apparently Perry Stone put it on some web blog or Facebook or something like that. He said that, imagine God having a conversation with Moses. Moses felt like quitting. Moses, you remember, you were there when I led you across the Red Sea. Moses, you remember when Joshua commanded the sun to stand still? Don't you remember that? Moses, you remember, you know, the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Don't you remember that, Moses? Moses would have said, God, what in the world are you talking about? Fiery furnace and the sun standing still? God, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Because those didn't happen yet. Revelation chapter 13. Turn your Bible there. You will melt your spiritual... Oh, you know what? Am I wrong in thinking that this slogan here, like you're going to melt your ice off? Just, you know, play around with that for a while. Your spiritual ice will melt off in the tunnel, in the fire tunnel. And I want you to think about that. We did a video called The Divine Spark. It was part of the Principalities Powers. I never did finish that series, did I? I got two series ongoing. I have not finished. That's all right. We got time, maybe. And if we don't, we'll just learn it from Jesus, all right? But you remember that. It was The Power of the Flame. Get that whole series, Power of the Flame, The Divine Spark. Because I'm going to show you, I show you in that DVD series from the Bible, how God's judgment appears as fire, and it ain't good. And so here you've seen Benny Hinn going around going, fire, fire on you all. I don't want no part of that. And so here is Perry the Stone, who some people that have written me, and they hate my guts because I spoke against Perry Stone and him being a necromancer, him being in contact with familiar spirits, him being in contact with a dead person who is telling him about his ministry. That's what the witch of Endor did with Saul. She brought forth a familiar spirit. It wasn't Samuel. You know why I know it wasn't Samuel? There's several reasons, but one of them is the fact that God told Saul, no more. I'm not going to speak to you either by prophet or by dreams. God said that. It wasn't Samuel. It was a familiar spirit. Perry Stone got in contact with a familiar spirit. So he's replaced scripture with experience. Let me show you whose ministry that comes from. Revelation 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of what? Those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. What did the false prophet do? What does he have the power to do? He has the power to make fire come down from heaven, and that is what he uses to deceive people so that they'll worship the beast. Don't you get it? If you are contemplating going to see Perry the Stone and have your ice melted off in the fire tunnel, I'm begging you, don't go. Actually, it's not, where is that? It says Omega Center International, Cleveland, Tennessee. Is it in other places too? Like, in this, it's probably one of those, probably one of those conferences that they do in different places. First Hearts Band, Worship Team, Remnant of One, and other anointed dance and drama teams. They're gonna have pole dancers there. So you might want to look into who these other guys are: Chad Daniel, Mark Casto, Eddie James, Chris Burns. That's funny. And now coming out of the fire tunnel, Chris Burns. There we go. Anyway, Robin, thank you very much for sending that. If you come up with any more good info on that, I would love to see it. Let's see here. Lori, it's a good question. I want everybody to listen to this one, okay? Hi, this is dealing with Saul. I've been teaching and preaching on Saul and Saul being in the fire tunnel. Saul's in the fire tunnel. Get it? He's in the fire tunnel. I just had a thought here. I was talking to one of our First Nations followers this morning. She taught me about the sweat lodge in Native American or First Native Canadians, eh? They were the first ones to go, hey, eh? Nice goal, eh? She taught me about the sweat lodge. She said, here's what it is. It's this tent thing. They got this fire roaring in there. It's blazing hot. You go inside of there because you're going to be born again. You're going to be transformed when you get in there. You're going into a pit. And it's on fire. Think of the fire tunnel. Let me pull that. There was something on there that I wanted us to look at. Hang on here. There's a presumptuousness about this advertisement, or as some of you say, advertisement. Being your entire youth group, I'm not kidding you, it says being your entire youth group. That's pretty funny. They spent $1 million making these mail outs and sending them out, and some knucklehead didn't have the time to proofread it. Being your entire youth group for the entire five services, and then experience the Sunday morning fiery tunnel impartation service. Now, here's my big question. How do you five rascals know that God's going to do that Sunday? How do you know that? How presumptuous are you? Because that's what the Bible calls you presumptuous. How presumptuous are you to think that just because you do the little ceremony, that when you, and I want you to get this, when the presumptuousness is that when they perform the ritual on you, you will get the experience of the fire tunnel and you're going to have the impartation. That is witchcraft. Witchcraft says that if you do the ritual and you say the words right, then you will invoke God's power and God will be forced to do your bidding at your hand and by your command. That's witchcraft. In Bible Christianity, God says, leave your rituals out. You pray. God, I trust you. God, I'm having a difficulty. God, I would like to walk closer to you, and I cannot do it by myself. God, I am asking you by for your mercy's sake that you do whatever it takes to draw me closer through Jesus and in his name, because he is the one mediator. In his name I pray. And then you wait for God. And what we just read in John 17 is God loves you exactly the same amount as he loves his only son. That'll make you weep. That'll make you weep because you know for a fact that Jesus was the good kid. Never did anything wrong to his father. Never committed any sin. And you're loaded with it. You're the rebellious child that did everything in the world to ruin your father's name. And he loves you exactly the same amount as the good kid. I'm not kidding you. I'm holding back tears right now. Whew. People, you don't need those stupid witchcraft rituals to have a closer walk with God. You don't need it. What you do is you just ask God and then read your Bible. And then ask God and then read your Bible. See how simple that is? That's presumptuousness. Anyway, back to the Sweat Lodge. Sweat Lodge says that, and I'm going to answer your question here, Lori, about Saul. The Sweat Lodge is you're going, basically you're in hell. You're in hell. And there's smoke and there's flames and the heat is intense and they leave you in there just long enough. I don't know if there's a peace pipe involved, but they leave you in there long enough until literally your brain stops functioning normally. And you have this fire tunnel experience in the Sweat Lodge. And what happens is that you find out what your familiar is, your animal spirit that you connect to. And when you are awakened from that, you come out of the Sweat Lodge. That's a birth. It's just like walking in and out of the Catholic Church with the mandorla doors. That's a birth. You've been reborn now. That's what the Sweat Lodge is all about. So think of things that are down. Here's the question. Here's why I'm saying all this. Pastor Mike, please help me. I agree with you that Saul will not be found in heaven, but while sharing this with a friend of mine, he says he's not sure he can agree with that because 1 Samuel 28:19, let's turn our Bibles there, 1 Samuel 28:19, Samuel says that tomorrow, 1 Samuel 28, that tomorrow you will be with me. And I haven't been able to explain it, and it's troubled me ever since, and I can't get it off my mind. Here we go. Are you ready? 1 Samuel 28. Let's look at it. Let's go back to, let's walk circumspectly. We're going to not just look at verse 19. We're going to draw a circle around and get the whole story here. So look at verse 7. Go back to verse 6. When Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Did you get that? That says that God is not and did not answer him by prophets. Why? God had already walked away from Saul. God had taken his Holy Spirit from him and given him an evil spirit to trouble him. And God swore, God promised, I'm not going to talk to you anymore, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. I'm done. So with that in mind, what leads anybody to believe? And I kind of get the misunderstanding. I get it. But shouldn't we then assume, as of this point, that whatever Saul heard or saw could not have been Samuel, because God said, I'm not going to talk to you anymore by the prophets. I'm done. My lips are sealed. So now look at that. Now look at verse 7. Here's what, since Saul now cannot hear from God and his prophets, what does he do? He does exactly what Samuel said to him when God rejected him. To obey is better than sacrifice. And he said, for rebellion is as the sin of what? Witchcraft. Witchcraft. Now Saul, from now on, your religion's going to be witchcraft. So look at it. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. A woman. Did you catch that? A woman. A mystery Babylon woman. A mother of harlots. Mother of abominations. A drunken woman. Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I might go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Her name was Endora. I'm just making that up, but that's where they got it from, the show Bewitched. The mother-in-law to Samantha was Endora. She's the witch at Endor. Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. He put on his Clark Kent glasses, and now no one knows he's Superman. No one does. Could you ever figure that one out? Here's Superman flying around, saving everybody's life. Everybody in the world knows Superman. He puts on a pair of glasses, and everybody's going, oh, hi, Clark. How you doing? Never mind. Anyway, and the woman, oh, he says he disguised himself, put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? She's like going, I don't know what you're talking about. Familiar spirits? Don't you know that that's illegal? We can't do that. Verse 10, and Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Now he's already told her who he wanted to see. I want you to think about that. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? Now, would you get this? Think about what she's going to tell you now, what she saw. What sawest thou? And the woman said, this is verse 13. The woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. Gods. And where were they coming from? Out of the earth. Here's the question. Where was Samuel according to what we know from the Bible, where was Samuel? Samuel was in Abraham's bosom. He was in captivity. And captivity had not been set free yet. The captives had not been released yet. When Christ died, he went to the lower parts of the earth exactly the way he said that, I'm going to give you the sign of Jonas, for as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And he was there. And what was he doing? Peter tells us that he was preaching to spirits in prison. And he was setting the captives free. Just like Joseph, who prophesies in Genesis 40 to the baker and to the butler. There are two groups down here in captivity. There is the group like the baker, who is going to be released out of the heart of the earth, out of captivity, but then they're going directly to judgment and cursing. Then there is the butler, who, when he is lifted up and set free, he is set on high next to Pharaoh. To me, it's a beautiful picture of what Jesus is doing. He's preaching the gospel down there, and what is he doing? He's telling everybody in Abraham's bosom, you guys ready? This is what you've been waiting for. You guys ready? I brought with me the guy that was hanging on the cross next to me. I told him that we would see paradise today, and that's what we're going to do. So you guys get ready. We're all going to go head toward paradise. And then here is everybody else, those spirits in Revelation chapter 9, the ones that left their first estate, and a rich man who had lifted up his eyes, being in hell, being in torments, who wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. And Abraham said, nah, he can't leave. He can't. There's a great gulf between us and you. And then he wanted to send Lazarus back from the dead. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. And if they, listen to me now, listen to me. If they will not believe Moses and who? The prophets. Samuel was one of them. They won't believe, though someone rose back from the dead. This was not Samuel. It was a familiar spirit. It was a spirit that was appearing as Samuel, because let's look at it. She saw God's ascending out of the earth, and he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. Have you ever seen the album jacket to Led Zeppelin's album? It's got a man, it's got an old man holding a lantern with a mantle over his head. Is that Samuel? She does not describe, she does not say, this is Samuel. She says, I see an old man, he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. But here's the problem. God had already let it be known that he was not going to speak to Saul by way of the prophets. This can't be Samuel. It's a familiar spirit appearing as Samuel. And if you want biblical precedent on that, I will tell you that Paul warned us of another Jesus, one that looks like and sounds like and appears as Jesus, but it's not Jesus. Another spirit, not like the Holy Spirit. And another gospel, not the same gospel. Paul warned us there, 2 Corinthians 11. He warns us in Galatians chapter 1 against another gospel. John warns us about an antichrist, a different Christ. Peter warned us about a roaring lion, the devil as a roaring lion, appearing as Jesus. Lucifer himself says, I will be like the Most High. Ezekiel chapter 28. Here he is, the Prince of Tyrus, saying, I am God, I sit in the seat of God. 2 Thessalonians 2, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But he's not God. Do I have, hang on here. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Here is the Aramaic English New Testament with all the major changes to the truth of the scriptures. It looks like a Bible, but it's not the prophet. It's not the word of God. It's not the same. It's different, but it's trying to look like God. Here's another one. This is the, how much time do I have left? This is the Jimmy Swaggart Expositor Study Bible. It is King James mostly, with the exception of all the 20 billion corrections. That's an exaggeration. 20 billion corrections that Jimmy and Donnie Swaggart made to the Bible because they said it's wrong. This is not God. It's meant to look like God, but it's not God. The Word was God. Remember that? Here is the New International Version Life Application Bible. It's meant to look like a Bible, but it is not, in fact, a Bible. It is a deceiving word. It's not the same. It's a familiar spirit. In fact, this is the spirit of Antichrist. You know how I know? Because in 1 John, he says this is that spirit of Antichrist. The spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Any spirit that does not show that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is the spirit of Antichrist. And if you read that verse here in the NIV, they took in, is come in the flesh. They took it out. That's the spirit of Antichrist. So you get my drift here? It looked like Samuel. Saul called it Samuel. They call this a Bible, don't they? They call this a Bible. But it's not. It's a familiar spirit. And that's what was here. That's what was appearing to Saul. Now the question is, tomorrow you will be with me. I get it. I get it. Because let's look at what he said. Verse 16, then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy? There he is right there telling him, this familiar spirit is telling them that you can't hear from the prophet. We'll see, what verse was that? Verse 19, moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow thou shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. The grave. Out of the lower parts of the earth, this woman saw the gods. Not the saints, not the prophets, not those in Abraham's bosom. She saw the gods ascending out of the earth, the heart of the earth, hell, the grave. And this spirit, this familiar spirit, set it right. Tomorrow, you and I are going to be in the same place. Saul did not go to Abraham's bosom. Only those who have the faith of Abraham can be with Abraham. Saul didn't have it. Stop. Lori, I hope that helps. But to your friend and to anybody else, stop trying to promote your once saved, always saved doctrine so much so that you put a witch and someone who rejected God and someone that had an evil spirit, you put them in heaven to preserve your doctrine. And if you want to believe that saints are sealed, if you want to believe that true saints of God never lose their salvation, you can't. You don't need Saul to do it. Anyway, I hope that helps. Barring anything coming up, I may talk some more about the Holy Father and how he's trying to unite all the religions and what is the goal of that. But we'll leave you for now. God bless you. It's been good to be here with you. Pray for us. Pray for our ministry. This is the talk show Hell Hates. We'll see you next time. Bye.